and welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community and listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans.
This week, Anchorage Police Chief Mark Mew addresses the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Hear the police chief's take on the status of the city's police force and on what you've been hearing about police in the media. This talk was recorded on May 11th at the Denina Center. Without further ado, Anchorage Police Chief Mark Mew.
Thank you. Can you hear me? All right, well, thank you for having me here today. I've got a few slides to run through. Chris, if you'll keep track of the time, I want to wrap up early enough that we can have time to take your questions and so forth. You may have some. See if I can figure this out. There you go. Okay, the first thing I thought I'd do is clear up some myths. I call this perception versus reality. You know, I go to lots and lots of community meetings, and I hear from the audience, you know, what they think is happening with their police department, and I'm seeing a constant drumbeat of misconceptions out there about the police department right now. A lot of these have worked their way into the various mayoral campaigns. I didn't say anything during the campaign season because I don't want to look like I'm candidating or campaigning for one side or the other on this. But now that that's over, I think there are some things that I'd like to set straight, and I'll take this opportunity maybe to do a little bit of that. Myth number one, Anchorage crime rate is soaring. You know, I hear that from a lot of people. So here's what the crime rate has looked like over the past 20-some years. You can see that the crime rate is come way down from its height in the late 80s, early 90s. That's no secret. It's been talked about quite a bit. It reflects largely national trends, and it's stayed relatively low for the last several years. It's up this year, down next year, up this year, down this, you know, but from relatively low levels. It's when people say it's going up, like it went up in 2013, but only by a few points, not up to where it used to be when crime was going crazy in this town. So this next year in 2014, the crime will be down just slightly over 2013, but it's stayed, as you can see there, hasn't moved around very much in the last few years. There's a lot behind those numbers. That's what you're looking at there is the UCR Part 1 crimes factored for population. There's a lot of ways you can look at these numbers. You can look at the raw numbers. You can look at the various categories of crime. Some will be up, some will be down. Notably, in 2014, homicides were down, and believe it or not, I'm happy to say it wasn't by much, but sexual assaults were down in 2014 by a very small amount, but that is some progress, and we'll be talking more about that in the future. And that's regardless of whether you use the old definition or the new definition of sexual assaults. There's other crime beyond the UCRs, but this is the general measure that people generally refer to when they talk about the overall crime trend. Okay, myth number two, APD's staff is shrinking. There's a picture of our staffing levels over the last several years. It goes back to January of, looks like of 2000. So you can see that we go sort of up and down, sort of like waves as budgets increase and decrease. You can see that, see if I can get the pointer working, okay. We decreased during the economic crisis that started off in 2008. How you read this chart, by the way, so I can explain it, is the dark, the dark part of the bar right in here, these things, these are the numbers of officers at various times that are actually trained and providing some service. These light blue numbers here are the numbers of officers who are on the payroll, but they're in training. They're either in the academy or they're in field training, and so they're not on the street yet pulling their weight, if you will.
Okay, right here, Mew is looking at a slide that shows APD's employment numbers. Just to paint a quick picture, there's a general upswing in APD personnel from 2002 through late 2008 or early 2009, after which hiring sort of plateaus. There were relatively few new recruits from 2010 to 2013. Today's cohort of APD sworn officers is about the size it was 10 years ago.
Then there's another number that you don't see here, and that's the authorized strength. That's how many are in the budget. For purposes of our discussion here today, the authorized strength, for most of the time that I've been around since January 2010, it's been 372 or thereabouts. So today it might be closer to 370 or 369. But the authorized strength has stayed largely flat, and the delta between how many officers we have in the field and what is budgeted is what we call salary savings, and that sometimes goes to offset other cost overruns elsewhere to try and balance our budget. But in the meantime, as you can see, we've been hiring like crazy since 2013 timeframe. We can get about two academies a year through the police department. By the time you recruit and then go through the hiring process, get them in the academy, get them out of the academy into field training, and through that process before they're cut loose, you can do that twice in 1 year. So we've been running back-to-back academies. We're up to we'll start the fifth academy later this month. This last bar here is a projection that hasn't occurred yet, but that's where we'll be in about a week when we start the first day of the academy. We made the hires yesterday, and so you can see that the decline in staffing has leveled off, and as terms of where we are in terms of real strength of officers performing service, and recruiting is starting to inch up. Now we have to overcome attrition as we do this, so we grow, but we have about 20 people a year retire, so it's like you take two steps forward, one step back. The goal is to turn the dark blue into light blue. So do we want to grow? Yes. Do we need to grow? I think everybody agrees we're over the crunch, at least most people I think would say that, and we're trying to grow, and we are no longer shrinking. We've stabilized, and I think we're on the this chart will show you that we're on the verge of starting back up again. Okay, academies. We'll start 15-1. That's the first academy of 2015. We'll start next week with 20 officers. We have another one planned for the fall, so that'll make six back-to-back academies. We had two in 2014. We had two in 2013. I've heard it said that we're not getting enough applicants to fill our academies. A full academy is 28, so we don't always make 28, but we hire about 3 out of 100 applicants. So in May, between May last year and this May, we had make sure I get my number right. I wrote it down. 1,688 applicants in the last year. So out of that, we've run two academies. So roughly, a little more than 800 applicants per academy is where we were for the last year, if you divide that number in half. So we still are getting applicants, but our standards are high, and we don't always accept everybody that has applied. There are a number of people who qualified for the academy, but that doesn't mean we take them. So sometimes we could have had 28 if we wanted to have 28, but we want to keep our standards up. Okay, there's lots of reports about all the specialized units that we've disbanded. The gang unit, the theft unit, the drug unit, the sexual assault unit, the robbery unit, those are all units that I've read in the newspaper that we've disbanded. It just simply isn't the case. Some of these have been scaled back in size a little bit to get us through our little challenges, but we've kept we continue to do the work. okay, gang unit. you got to understand the difference between a gang unit and a gang intelligence unit. The gang intelligence unit is one person. That they maintain records, keep track of how many crimes are gang-related, how many gang types we have in town, how many gangs we have in town. That individual went back to the street, and those statistics are now being tracked by the Fusion Center. It's got an acronym. We call it ACIAC. It's an intelligence center that's staffed by representatives from several departments in the area, APD, AST, FBI, National Guard, I think, has some intel analysts in there. A gang unit is generally considered to be a detective unit that responds and works the street, responds to crimes that have occurred that there might be gang involvement in. We had a gang unit, excuse me, for a brief time in the 1990s. In the 90s, that unit was disbanded, and that mission was handed to the Safe Streets Task Force. The Safe Streets Task Force is a federal task force housed over at the FBI, but it has APD people, FBI people, and at various times folks from other agencies involved in that. I think state troopers, others are on that task force or come and go from that task force. So the work is being done. It should be just being done elsewhere. And yes, it's true that we disbanded that unit, but that was in the 90s, not any time recently. Supposedly, we have disbanded our drug unit. We did retool how the drug unit and how what units work drugs. We did that back in 2009. Right now, drugs are being handled, and it's a three-part strategy. The street-level drugs, the jump-outs, the buy-busts, those are being done by the Special Assignment Unit, which right now has seven officers, a sergeant and a lieutenant. And they do mostly that kind of work, as well as some other high-risk stuff like surveillances and warrant services and things. Most of those folks are all SWAT people. The Vice Unit handles mid-level cases. Those are the ones that involve more long-term informant work and that take longer than maybe work up, not just from the street level, but to the suppliers. There are six officers and a sergeant in that unit. And then we have two officers over the DEA task force. They work with DEA agents and state troopers and others on that task force, and they work the really long, complex, high-level drug cases that are sometimes involved going for the supply chain from Mexico and places outside of the state. The theft unit was combined with the burglar unit to form a property crimes unit, but we still have theft investigators. We still have investigators doing theft and burglary cases. I've been told we've heard that the robbery unit is gone away. That's not true. Robbery assault has been in place since before I got here, and we haven't changed anything there. Sexual assault unit is alive and fully staffed. Nothing's happened with that. So what has changed? Well, perceptions have changed. We are doing a lot more proactive communication these days. We're putting information out through Nixle and Twitter and Facebook, and everybody's getting this stuff on their phones, and people are going, oh my God, I can't believe the crime. It's just going nuts. Well, to a certain extent, we're shooting ourselves in the foot on this deal because it's always been that way. You just didn't know it. Now you're getting it blow by blow every single day, and that, I think, contributes. On one hand, it's better because people understand what's going on around in their community, but it appears to you that something suddenly changed and something got worse. What changed is we're giving you information all the time now that through means that you didn't used to get, and you're getting it in real time. And then, of course, people use social media to go back and forth about these events, which also tends to keep them in your consciousness, and so probably gives you the idea that there's more of it going on because a lot of it's being recycled and moving around out there on social network. So anyway, we're getting used to that, and I think so is our public. We're also having some challenges with the media. I know we have media here in the room today, but many of these are complex topics that we have going on, and there's lots of turnover in the media, and they're on a fast pace to get their deadlines done. And sometimes I think that we're not reporting the stories maybe in as effective way as we could. An example, for instance, we're talking a little bit about staffing today, but we probably get a request every other week to do a story on staffing. And often it's a brand new reporter who doesn't realize that we've done this story every other week for 2 years now, and absolutely nothing's changed except maybe today's numbers. For instance, everyone knows the price of oil has tanked. Everyone knows what that means to state government. We've read all about that. You don't need to do that story every day. All you need to do is go to the paper and see today's price of oil, and it's whatever, $63 a day, or $63 now a barrel, I think was what it is. And you could maybe show our staffing chart today and say, okay, here's how much we've grown in the last couple days, but starting all over to build a new story that it just makes it sound like we've had 25 crises in a row. It's just the same issue, and time has moved it along, but it's not that we've had 25 staffing crises. Another example might be if you think of the beginning of the year when we had some extra shootings there in January, February timeframe. Everybody's getting their Nixles. Yes, we did have a lot more than usual then. But there was a lot of discussion about, well, is this a trend, or is this a spike? And media is trying to report this new trend. Well, we don't know if it's a trend. We don't know if it's a trend until we have a before and after look at the data. We have to see how long that data lasts. Does it go back down after a period of time? What was it before? How do we define our terms? These are all challenging for us. With regard to the staffing study, you remember a minute ago we were talking about the light blue and the dark blue. That would be the number of officers we have working, the number of officers we have on the payroll, but they're in training, and then there's your authorized number. Well, we get a lot of apples to oranges in there. Even in today's paper, for instance, there are some numbers about our staffing. And in one case, we're comparing, we're confused between the number of officers we have on the books and the number of officers we have working today. And so the reporters get those out of whack, and we're challenged to get those stories correct. And I guess that's all I'm saying there. I'm not trying to blame the reporters. Sometimes maybe we're not communicating as carefully as we want, but these are complex stories, and they don't lend themselves to, you know, a quick soundbite. And that is what we get a lot of, and I think that's why you sometimes maybe don't have the right impression about what our numbers are saying. Okay, so what else is different? Nixle. I hope you're all getting Nixle. You can sign up by going to www.nixle.com. It's free. This is how we tell you all kinds of things, like all these shootings that we've been talking about, but other stuff that you probably want to know, like what roads are being closed, what accidents are blocking up and slowing down traffic, if we have scams going on, if SWAT's got a neighborhood shut down or you need to close your windows because we're going to deploy OC or tear gas. You know, you want to know those kinds of things. It's free, and we're pushing that. We're trying to roll it out. What should you be aware of? What's on the rise? We're seeing a lot more heroin out there. We're seeing a lot more meth out there. Seems to be replacing cocaine. Results of these things are showing up in thefts. As addicts look for sources of income to support their habits, we see a lot of vehicle break-ins. So you'll see a constant drumbeat for us to prevent vehicle thefts through the lock, remove, and conceal. So thieves don't steal campaign. You probably heard that before, and we're going to throw it out to you here again today. Our OUI fatalities are something that we've been working very hard on. 12 or 13 years ago, we had 20 people killed by drunk drivers in Anchorage. We got those down to one, and we thought we were going for zero. We haven't made zero yet. We've turned around and started heading up the other direction. I think we had seven in 2014. It says 11 there, but that's not all of them. Some of the people who were killed were not the drunk drivers. They were intoxicated people who were run over by somebody who was sober. So 11 fatalities involved alcohol, but in terms of the drivers, I think we're closer to 6 or 7 for 2014. One thing that we do want to talk about, it's not for sure yet until it makes its way through the assembly, but we have received a grant to stand up a drunk driving unit, an OUI unit. That'll be 6 new positions to the Anchorage Police Department for a patrol officer, 1 new sergeant position, and 1 new clerk position. And that'll be a standalone unit, so it increases our budget and our staffing by 8 positions. It's a $2 million grant probably for 3 years, although it's on a year-to-year basis. So we know we've got it for at least the first year. And those units will support the efforts of traffic and support the efforts of patrol to try and do something about helping us turn this DUI situation around and get it back down to where we have 0 fatalities is what we're shooting for. And that'll help us with our Citizens Academy alumni who are still out there driving around helping us find DUI suspects. Now there'll be more officers to respond to those complaints and make those cases. So we're really, really happy about that. Where are our OUI arrests being made? You can see the 2 hot spots there. There's 2 points to this map. One is to show you where we are finding our OUI suspects. The other is to show you the kind of mapping that we're starting to do, and I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But as you can see, and this probably won't surprise you much, the downtown core and the area around Midtown and Spinard is where we're finding most of our drunk driving arrests. Now, some of this is also where an officer goes to find a drunk driver. So is this where all the drunks are, or is this just where the officers tend to be when they happen to observe them? It's probably a little bit of both, because it doesn't take long for officers to figure out where to go to find a drunk. So you can just, I think it's probably a little bit of both there. Okay, so we have recently acquired a system from a company called Bear Analytics, and there are actually 2 systems. One is called Raids Online. That's a public system. You can go to Raids Online by Googling it or going to our website and hitting a link, and it's a crime mapping program with analytics associated with the map, and you can go there, specify your own addresses, specify the time, specify the kinds of crime, specify the days of the week. You can see what crimes are happening around an area that interests you, whether it's you draw a circle around your business and say, show me everything that happens within a half mile of my business or my apartment complex or my daughter's apartment at UAA or whatever you want to see, and you can get that data and you can get an analytic breakdown showing you the crime patterns associated with whatever you specified on the map. So you can do all that. You can have those reports delivered to you at the schedule you like. You could have them come to you every morning at 8 o'clock for your coffee, for instance. You can get that on your iPhone or on your computer. We have another version of this called Attack Raids, which is we see on our side. We'll be rolling it out soon. We're just finishing up some technical deals on it. That data will come from both CAD and RMS. I realize that doesn't mean much to you, but it'll be updated for the officers at 4-hour intervals, so they'll be able to see in their car the most recent crime data, and it'll only be 4 hours old. And this software is much richer than what you see on the public side. It can do MO analysis. It can do predictive policing. It can tell you that this is the name of the fellow that you have who's an active burglar in your area, and based on the patterns of the reports, your best place to find him will be inside the circle at Tuesday at 02:30, and so go there and look for him. So those are the kind of things we hope to be able to doing here in the near future. Here's an example of a robbery trend. You see a bunch of robberies occurring just in the downtown area, and so you have a map. A pin map, if you will, with a density. That orange area tells you that's where they're increasing, not just that they're there, but that they're there at a higher rate than they were before you ran the whatever date range you specified. Cool colors tend to show you where crime's going away. Hot colors show you where they are growing in relationship to whatever dates you specified. So then associated with that, you could see a bunch of charts. We've only put one chart up here. That's this one. But that shows you that all of these robberies are happening between about noon and 6 p.m. Monday and Tuesday time frame. So this would tell us, if we want to work this trend, what's happening, the fact that it's growing, and where and when it's growing, so we can deploy the people on the clock and in geography, in other words, temporally and spatially, in order to figure out how to interrupt the pattern. So that's kind of where we're going as a department. That and community problem-oriented policing projects, proactive work as our staffing increases. When we hit our target of 30% unobligated time, these are the kinds of things we're going to do with that 30%. So how do you get involved? There's a pitch here for Neighborhood Watch. We want you to use Raids Online and start. You can submit tips on Raids Online. You can click on any of those icons you saw and get a little a dialogue box that'll tell you something about any crime you see on the map. You play around with it, you'll find out really quickly how flexible it is and how easy it is to use. And then finally, we want to pitch Nixle, and of course, if you're on Twitter, you're getting that already. But if you don't want Twitter and all that other stuff that comes with it, then you just want police stuff, then Nixle is probably for you.
You've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Police Chief Mark Mew. This talk was hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. It was recorded May 11th at the Denina Center. If you're interested in any of the web links the Chief mentioned, Raids Online or Nixle, you can find those on our website at alaskapublic.org. Just scroll down and look for the Addressing Alaskans icon in the center of the page. Thanks for tuning in with us today on Addressing Alaskans. Until next week, I'm your host and producer, Monica Goki.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Learn more about Addressing Alaskans and listen online at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.